everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of the What I Am Reading podcast. Each week I will be reading a short excerpt from the book that I am reading, which I have chosen from the school library. Today I will be reading from The Legend of Podkin One Ear by Kieran Larwood. Chapter 2, The Worst Bramblemas Ever. The Gorm. First, you need to know about them. Nowadays, thank the goddess, they are nothing but a bad memory, something to scare the little ones with at night. But back when your grandparents were young, rabbits lived in constant fear of their strange riders, of the screeching of metal in the night, and the echoing of their terrifying war horns. The Gorm. Nobody knows exactly how they came to exist, only that they were first seen in a little warren called Sandywell, up in northern Enderby, where the Red River meets the sea. A meek little tribe of rabbits lived there. Grey-filled sable bunnies that liked fishing, sailing and building boats. They never caused any trouble, and nobody paid them much attention. Until one day, everything changed. Some say there was something in the river that got into their veins. Some say they tunneled too far down and came across something cursed and poisonous. Others say it was the work of witches. Whatever the reason, they stopped being the Sandywell Greys overnight and turned into something else, something evil and unnatural. First, the warren changed, just a little at first, until eventually great spikes of jutting metal burst out of it, sticking up into the air like poison porcupine quills, and the land around became blackened and scorched. The waters of the Red River turned black and noxious as they ran past. Animals that lived in the woods and waters either died or became warped and ruined. Folks started calling the warren Splinterholm and stayed well away, but that didn't help them. Next, the old Sandywell rabbits reappeared, except now you wouldn't recognise them. They were clad head to foot in iron armour. Iron. That metal the rabbits find impossible to work with, and poisonous to the goddess herself. The Sandywell rabbits had not only shaped and moulded it, they had bonded with it somehow. It seemed as though the metal had fused and pierced their very skin. It ran through their veins and bled into their eyes, turning them blank and rusty red. The rabbits used the metal to bend and shape the creatures around them as well. The dumb giant rats that all rabbits use as beasts of burden, and the black crows of the nearby woods. They changed them into shrieking flocks of rusted metal harpies. When they rode out of Splinterholm, they came to devour and destroy, and they were called the Gorm by all who feared them. If they called at your warren, then that was the end of you. They would kill your chieftain and his sons, they would rip your warriors into shreds. Then they would carry half of you off to be changed into goddess knows what. The rest would spend their miserable lives making food and supplies to feed their new masters, never knowing when they too would be dragged away, wailing in the night. It was a dark time for all rabbit kind, is what I'm saying. It was in those days a Podkin One Ear lived. He wasn't a hero back then. He hadn't slain any giant rabbits or formed any robber bands, and he hadn't even begun to think about rescuing maidens. In fact, he was only a youngling. 8 summers old. Oh, and he still had both his ears. Podkin was the son of Lopkin, chieftain of the Munbury Warren, which meant that someday he himself would be chieftain, just like his father's father had been, and his father, all the way back to when the goddess first made the 12 tribes. For now, that all seemed a long way off, and that was the way he liked it. He had an older sister called Paz, who liked to boss him around as much as possible, and a young kitten of a brother called Pook, who didn't do much except chew things and ask for soup. You might think, as a young rabbit, that Podkin was already showing signs of heroism. Great skill with a sword, maybe. Bravery, courage, wisdom, determination. You would be wrong. If anything, he was perhaps the laziest, most spoilt son of a chieftain in the whole 5 realms. At least he was up until the start of the story. His father tried his best to prepare him for leadership with lessons in history, rabbit lore, and soldiering, but Podkin took great delight in avoiding them all. Daydreaming and snoozing were the only things he practiced, and to be fair, he was very good at them. He was the despair of all his tutors, especially poor Malfrey, the weapon master, who resigned 3 times or more from the task of teaching Podkin. The young rabbit simply had no interest in doing what was expected of him. So it came to pass that on a Bramblemas Eve, much like this one, Podkin One Ear, although technically 2 ears at this point, was sitting upstairs in the wooden gallery that ran around the edge of Mumbry Longborough. He was lazily pushing around a toy wagon, munching on a stolen piece of cornbread, and daydreaming about the midwinter rabbit who would be visiting that night, hopefully with a sack full of presents. Would he get the wooden soldiers he'd asked for, or the toy sword and shield? Or would it be the disappointment of a badly knitted woolen tunic like last year? "What are you doing up here, Pod?" His sister had tiptoed up the stairs and was now glaring at him. Podkin's little brother Pook was nestled in the crook of her arm, chewing away at a carrot. "Mother sent me to get you. They're about to have turnip soup and dance a bramble reel. You should be there, seeing as you're next in line to be chief." Paz took it hard that she was never going to lead the warren, even though she was the eldest, but it was tradition, fair or not, that the first son took over. Podkin yawned deliberately. The bramble reel, how exciting! He took Pook from her and tickled his tummy. He could hear all the festivities in the hall below and had absolutely no desire to join in with them. "Please stand aside so I can rush down the stairs and prance about like a prize pudding." "If you don't come down, you're going to be in trouble," said Paz. "Do you have any idea what it takes to be chieftain? Nobody will want to follow a lord who spends all his time tickling his baby brother, playing with toys and hiding away in corners daydreaming." Podkin huffed and flicked his ears at his sister. "You're just jealous because you think you would make a better chieftain than me." "Well, I would, wouldn't I? Anyone can see that." Paz started ticking off a list on her fingers. "I'm the eldest. I do what father and mother tell me. I go to all my lessons instead of hiding in the meadow and picking daisies like a rat-brained fairy flunk. If there was any justice, girls would be allowed to become a chief instead of brats like you, who don't deserve it." Podkin was about to leap on Paz and pull her ears when the warren horn began to sound. The 3 young rabbits rushed to the edge of the gallery and looked down onto the hall. Soldiers were grabbing spears and shields, children were being herded into the corners, and their father, Chief Lopkin, was striding towards the borough entrance, drawing his sword. His great silver broadsword that everyone thought was magical. "Midwinter Wabbit! Midwinter Wabbit!" Pook shouted, trying to wriggle free. "It's not the Midwinter Rabbit, Pook," said Podkin, the argument with Paz forgotten. "It looks like trouble, and trouble doesn't leave presents outside your burrow at night." Frightened murmurs were drifting up from the crowd below. "A rider! A lone rider coming!" And then, "A rider wearing armour! Iron armour!" And finally, "It's the Gorm! The Gorm are here!" This last shout caused mass panic. Podkin could see his father shouting, but his voice was swallowed up by the hubbub. The warren was terrified, losing its head. This was the time it really needed its chieftain, somebody to lead them all. Pod watched Lopkin breathe deep, then bellow in his great commanding voice, "Silence!" The whole Longborough instantly froze. Hundreds of scared eyes turned to Lopkin, who stood amongst them, his magic silver sword flashing. He let the silence stand for a moment before speaking in as calm a voice as he could. "A rider approaches, true. A Gorm, true. But it is a lone rider, and he carries the white flag of peace. We will let him enter and see what he has to say." The sound of the heavy oak entrance doors opening echoed down the warren. The rabbits in the Longborough pressed back against the walls. Spears were raised. Breath was held. Something was making its way along the entrance hall. "Will it be okay, Paz?" whispered Podkin. He had always been in awe of his tall, powerful father. He had always seemed invincible, at least until now. "I don't know, Pod," Paz replied. "Father has his sword." The look in her eyes was enough to make Podkin truly afraid for the first time in his short life. Chief Lopkin called out the traditional greeting to the darkness of the tunnel. Enter, stranger, and be welcome on this Bramblemas Eve. Clank. Screech! Grinding metal, followed by the clump of heavy leather boots. It seemed the rider had dismounted whatever had been carrying him and was now coming down the entrance tunnel on foot. 150 terrified rabbits all held their breath. Clank! Screech! Pook began whimpering. They could now see something moving in the darkness of the tunnel. Torchlight from the great hall caught on metal and bounced back in orange glints. Enter, Lopkin called out again. We mean you no harm. With a final grinding squeal, the figure emerged and leapt from the tunnel to land in the centre of the warrior's circle. The rabbits had all heard terrifying tales of the Gorm, but none had done the real thing justice. This wasn't a rabbit anymore. If it ever had been, it was now something else entirely. A walking slab of metal and meat pierced through with rusty thorns and nails. Its armour overlapped in sheets of jagged, dented iron, mottled with rust and splashes of dried crimson that looked very much like old blood. Its head was completely covered by a helm, dotted all over with cruel, shard-like spikes and curved metal horns that almost scraped the ceiling. From the shadowy eye slits, two dim scarlet pupils glowed, blank and mottled with rusty red veins. Potkin was so scared he wanted to cry. Worst of all was the thing's jagged black iron sword. That and the skulls that hung from its belt. Rabbit skulls, painted all over with evil-looking runes. Skulls of all sizes, including ones that looked like children's. The Gorm rabbit turned his head to and fro, taking in the warren's inhabitants, before resting his gaze on Lopkin himself. I don't want your welcome, the deep voice echoed inside its iron shell, a cold, iron, killer's voice. I came to tell you I am taking your warren, that and your magic weapon. Instantly every spear was raised and pointed at the armed intruder. The Gorm tilted his head slightly, as if curious, and leant over to thump his sword three times on the floor. There was a rumbling deep below the ground. The whole floor of the long burrow began to shake, and then parts of it started to crack and crumble. The Mumbery rabbits backed against the walls as piles of mud burst upwards, shattering the tiled floors and overturning benches and tables. From beneath the ground, armored Gorm began to clamber out into their midst, pushing their way up through the soil, spilling torrents of mud from their spiked iron shoulders, as the Mumbery rabbits stared on in mute horror. 5, 10, 15 of them and more, each one clad head to foot in jagged rusty armour and wielding an axe or sword. This warren is ours now, said the first Gorm, his voice like the metallic screeching of his armour, and we will kill anyone who thinks otherwise. So says the chief of Old Gorm. Scrammershank, said Chief Lopkin. The Gorm Lord's name was well known amongst rabbits and well feared. Lopkin raised his silver sword and stepped into a battle stance. Scrammershank, leave my people out of this. We will settle this between the two of us. They aren't your people anymore, Scrammershank laughed, as if this were all some elaborate Bramblemas joke. They are the Gorm now, or they will be. Once you are dead. In a flash of iron, Scrammershank swung his sword over his head and down, trying to cleave Lopkin in half. The chieftain raised his silver sword just in time, and there was an almighty clang as the blades clashed, showering sparks about the hall. Father! Podkin and Pad both screamed out at the same time. Pook began to bawl and wail. They had a brief glimpse of Lopkin gazing up at them, Scrammershank drawing back for another blow. And then they were pulled back, away from the gallery rail. All three young rabbits shrieked, expecting to see a Gorm standing behind them. But instead, it was their Auntie Olwyn. Tears had dampened the fur around her eyes, but her jaw was set and fierce. Come with me, you three. She pulled them back towards the stair. But Father, Podkin began. Don't think about him. He has to fend for himself. She was dragging them down the stairway. You have to leave with me now, before the Gorm come for you too. She was too strong to resist, and even as the sound of shouts and clashing metal began to echo up from the long burrow, the little rabbits ran with their aunt through the mulberry tunnels, twisting this way and that. They soon ended up at their parents' bedchamber. "In here," whispered Auntie Olwen, shoving them inside and barring the door behind them. She ran straight to the bed and began rummaging around underneath it. "What are you doing, Auntie? We have to go back. We have to help Father." "There's no helping him now. He'll soon be in the land beyond. Goddess save him," she said under her breath. She stood up, holding something long and thin wrapped in cloth. She thrust it into Podkin's hands. "Your father told me to give you this should anything ever happen to him, and your mother told me to bring you here if the warren should ever fall." "To the bedroom?" Paz looked at her aunt as if she had gone suddenly mad. Podkin was peeking under the cloth bindings. They hid a battered old copper dagger, dull and blunt, with a crude face carved on the pommel. "There's a secret tunnel here." Albin pulled on the bedpost, and a little door slowly opened in the wall. She gave each of the children a quick kiss on the forehead. "Go now," she said. "Get out of the tunnel and run as fast as you can. Get to Redwater Warren and ask for help there. Don't even think of coming back here. Not ever." "But what about you? What about Mother?" Podkin asked. "Don't worry about us. We'll be all right. And if not, we'll see you in the land beyond. Remember, children, your parents love you. They love you so very much." With that, she bundled them into the tunnel, and then, before they could do anything about it, she shut the door behind them and locked it tight. Thank you very much for listening. Join me on the next episode for more of What I Am Reading. Stay safe, look after yourself, and until next time, bye!